This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good, usually. But this time, we are back for another Creative Corner Chat.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second host.
And this is Zach Valenti, your third host.
And we are joined once again with our fabulous guest, Alyssa from Good Morning, host of Breakfast in Beauclair.
Thank
you so much for still hanging out here.
Yep, I'm stuck. They haven't let me leave yet.
Well, we still need to mine your wisdom. We still need to kind of have a little bit of a talk about your journey towards podcasting and kind of like your own creative adventures in the sphere.
Yes, it's been a very colorful journey over the last year or so. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk with you guys about it.
So why don't we start with what kind of gave you the initial idea for your podcast? Kind of how did you find yourself going, aha, this is a good thing that I should do?
That in and of itself took me a while. So
fair enough.
Yep. It started actually, I had played the third Witcher game, Breakfast in Beauclair, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is a show about The Witcher by Andrzej Sapkowski, the Netflix series, and eventually about the games as well, which were created by CD Projekt Red. I did play the third game, Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, back in 2015, 2016 or so.
It's a great game.
It's fucking phenomenal. Yep. If you are a fan of open world games, if you're a fan of RPG, if you're just a fan of good storytelling, I would highly recommend picking up Wild Hunt.
Nice.
And after I played it, turns out there are a number of books that were created that inspired the games. 8 books total, 2 compilations of short stories, a 5-part saga of novels, and then a standalone novel as well. These all comprise the Witcher series by Andrzej Sapkowski. And yeah, I read them. I fell in love with the prose and with the world. Some of the really fantastic things about Sapkowski's writing, you know, even though you're reading a quote-unquote poor translation in English, the books are originally in Polish, but it's so wonderful, so dynamic. The characters, it's a huge ensemble cast, and they're incredibly interesting and incredibly flawed. And there's a lot of really wonderful character development, and the dialogue is excellent. If you are a writer, I would highly recommend checking it out because the dialogue is so spot on throughout the whole series.
This is a very good sales pitch. Like, I'm like, oh man, I need to go get into this right now.
And if you like podcasts, the audiobooks by Peter Kenny are phenomenal. Also very good.
Cool.
Yeah. So when I went around looking on the internet just for any kind of content, you know when you read a really lovely series or book and you get to the end and you're just like, I want more.
Right. Yeah. I need to stay in this headspace for a while longer.
Yeah.
Right.
Just in the, you bask in the afterglow by looking up other things. And I basically went around the internet and I tried looking for stuff about the books and there was none. Mm-hmm. All there was on the internet was really just screenshots of the games. And I have nothing against in-game photography. I think it's great, but it just wasn't what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So I wanted to create a podcast about it. And this was in August, like summer of 2018.
Okay.
I did not start this podcast until August of 2019.
Wow.
So when I first tried to do it the year before I started, I was part of a philosophy and psychology group here in New York. I would go to Wall Street every Saturday for 5 to 6 hours and just talk about philosophy and psychology with people.
Whoa.
And I tried. There were so many people in that group who were wonderful conversationalists, very interesting people. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I want to start a podcast about this thing. Cool. What is it about? A fiction series. Oh, I don't read fiction.
Wow.
No.
And I got that not just from one person, from 4 different people who all told me they don't read fiction.
Wow.
So I you know, took a look at my surroundings, realized that I did not have the resources to do this on my own. So I, you know, at the time I was like, okay, what can I do by myself that will give me gratification, but also be able to, you know, create content about the books that's not out in the world yet.
Yeah.
And that is how Good Morin came about. And all it is, it's an Instagram feed that has quotes from the books. Instead of pairing it with the visual language of the video games, I chose to pair the quotes from the books with 18th to 20th century etchings.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. So it kind of, it really focuses on the text rather than on the video games, which is what people are mostly preoccupied with. Yep. And then through that, through Good Morin, which is a play on Kaer Morhen, which is a location that you could visit in the games and the books.
Got it.
Yeah. And it's lovely because it's a translatable pun. Mm-hmm. The original podcast was not called Breakfast in Beauclair. It was called Good Morning, Kaer Morhen.
Ah.
And when I went to kind of truncate that for social media, I was like, well, GMKM doesn't make any sense. It's also really important if you're working on a show or any sort of property that you come up with a truncation of the name or a name that's actually applicable and known for a social.
Right.
Namecheck.com is really great. CHK. Great. But when I was looking for some way to put it, my brother actually suggested, what if you shorten it to Good Morin? A play on Good Morning.
Right.
Which also translates into a number of other languages, as I've learned over the years.
Nice.
Which is cool. The years, the 6 months that this podcast has been around. It's like, chill. So
I mean, weeks feel like years at this point.
Yeah,
time,
seriously.
Time is many Jeremy Baramies. It's fine.
No,
no, don't do that to me now. I can't. It's too soon.
We're still in the aftershock of the Good Place finale.
Yeah, that would be an aftershock, not an afterglow.
No, yeah.
Oh, I need to finish that.
Oh, whoa. No. My heart's, like, I can feel my heart in my chest right now under my fucking fingers, and it's pounding.
It's fine, Zach.
It's fine.
It's fine. You have nothing to worry about.
Immediately renews Hulu. Spends rest of weekend staring longingly into the screen.
Yeah. But no, yes, sort of, there's a very real time dilation that happens when you are working on these things, and especially I feel like 2019 felt like it went on for about 4 years length. Like, it was such a long year.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, but you sort of realize that it translates into various other languages.
Yeah. So that was the one lovely thing about Good Morin. And through Good Morin, I was actually able to create the community that I didn't have when I first wanted to create the podcast.
That's so cool.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. So Good Morin ended up, through Good Morin, I was able to connect with other content creators. That was the biggest thing for me, is that I started taking interest in other people's pages, people taking interest in mine. It's still a very small community, at least on my end, but I was able to create like a large network of people. So, for example, there's someone in Berlin. His name's Lars. He has an account called Witcher Flicks, which is daily postings about The Witcher, sometimes multiple times a day.
Wow.
And I was in Berlin last week. I visited him there. Like, we've been to Italy together.
Wow.
To like,
what is
go
your life?
To...
That's so cool.
But it's like, I just met them because of The Witcher. Like, right, it's crazy. There's this girl in North Carolina. Her name is Charlotte. And she creates cream perfumes based on the world of The Witcher. And she just launched her newest one like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely beautiful. So she creates her products. They're on Etsy. You can find her at glamoureye.com. And the craftsmanship that goes into it is incredible. Mm-hmm. So along with the two of them, I also met these two girls in Poland who create recipes based on video games and also The Witcher universe. And they bring in a lot of their, you know, Polish heritage, the lore from the games into all video games, into two projects called Nerd's Kitchen and Witcher Kitchen. Huge, huge production. And the work that they do is absolutely incredible. So those were just some of the people and other content creators that I was able to meet through Good Morin that then became guests on the show.
So as you got into podcasting, I'm curious, like, what stumbling blocks did you hit early on? And mm-hmm. I guess, were you surprised by any part of the process and like, oh my God, how easy this is? Or like, holy God, how does this work?
Yes, there was a lot of learning. Sarah reached out to me because we have a mutual friend who also has a podcast. And myself and that friend have known each other since we were about five. We grew up together. Yeah. And then he created a podcast. So it was kind of nice to be able to see someone. And he's been my podcast mom, which is really nice. And like I'll just text him randomly like, hey, Mike, how does this work? Or like, does this legal thing sound weird? Or there was one time where I had someone approached me about creating music. I was open to the idea. And then when I actually checked in with this person who had experience, they were like, wait, that number is wildly too high for what you should be paying for. So he actually recommended someone else who was, you know, more in budget. And that was actually really helpful because I just wouldn't have known because I don't have the experience.
Right.
Totally.
So that was really helpful. I was able to connect with someone who was part of my philosophy and psychology group who mastered the first episode for me and then taught me a little bit of audio here and there. So there were people in the community that were very helpful. And that was really nice to have. Some of the other, like, I think weird things that I didn't know, I kind of learned from the internet.
Right.
So I've created a blanket fort, and I know how to create a blanket fort now. Why? Because I need to.
And this is for
soundproofing. Yeah. So the first few episodes, the very first episode I recorded had to be during the workday while I was in WeWork, and because the guest was in Poland.
And for anybody who doesn't know what a WeWork is, it is a co-working space that is not quiet. There are a lot of locations. They are pretty and have kombucha and stuff, and those are nice amenities, and their glass windows are not effective at keeping sound out of the hallways and other glass boxes.
The walls that they do have are definitely temporary walls, so that episode, it's episode 3, and great content, poor quality sound, because you can hear people doing dishes in the background
the whole episode.
Wow. it's early on, then it's okay.
Our first episode was recorded next to a drummer that was practicing because we were recording in a rehearsal space. That was what our sound engineer could get us.
Right, of Wolf 359. Yeah. His first studio was basically a very padded, rehearsal space. And so above and next above us was a drum kit, and then next to us was a hip hop producer.
I feel it's a podcast rite of passage. Yeah.
Quality
of your sound, no matter where you are or what you're doing in the first couple episodes, is very poor. And you look back on it later and cringe, but audiences, I would imagine, especially for a show that's putting more fandom content out there, would be okay.
Yeah, I had people reach out to me. They're like, the quality of the sound is so good. And I was like, are you sure? really? But they were like, yeah, it sounds so professional. And I'm like, well, and then I would kind of cringe a little bit, but thank you. Sincerely, thank you. But to go back to your original question, which had been about the things that, let's say, surprised me about being difficult or being easy. I produce Breakfast in Beauclair entirely by myself, and I host it and I record it and I do all the pre-production and I master it and I edit it and I do community management and run Patreon and
original art for each episode.
Original art for every single episode. Plus, there's still Good Morin.
Yeah, spoiler, I was going to ask if you're still running that.
It's been a little bit, but yeah, I think I have a meaning to put out another thing on Good Morning soon. The last one went out about a month ago.
Okay.
So I'm well overdue for a post there. And hopefully during my break, I'll be able to produce more content on Good Morning, which is my happy space and bread and butter.
Also a hilarious, we're also terrible at taking breaks by just filling breaks with other projects.
Yeah. I think that's the thing about being someone who creates. Right, is that it's such an ingrained part of your nature that if you're stopping on something that's scheduled, you're starting on something that's improvised.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And just always making something. If I'm not working on a project like this, then I'm going to attempt to learn how to bake, or I'm going to produce something else. And it's kind of this beautiful process and this continual opportunity for learning that makes, life really exciting. So deep.
And how do you manage to keep all those plates spinning, though? How do you manage to kind of find the time, energy, mental discipline, spiritual energy, all of it to manage all of those departments?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why I'm actually going to be taking a break soon. Like,
makes
full
sense.
And, yeah. And this is something that I've learned. To go back to a previous experience, my first learning experience with really balancing things, when I was a junior in college, about, you know, however long ago, I can't count. And I was taking 24 credits. I had two internships. I was also president, or at the time, of like a student organization. And eventually something had to give.
Right.
And that was my very first experience with realizing, wait, this is too much. It's unsustainable. And I need to figure out something. So I dropped one of my classes and then I moved on. Yeah. It was actually a screenwriting class. I'm so sorry to everybody that's here.
You're fine. I think all of us had very mixed experiences with screenwriting classes.
Yeah. I just remember creating something very like unrealistic and mm-hmm. like not, and then thinking about it at the time anyway. But I'm kind of coming across that now, where I have a full-time job. So I work usually 9:30 to 6:30, 7-ish. And then I go home and I do this. And it's basically like having full-time jobs. So the transition, Breakfast in Beauclair released August 1st. And I was doing pre-production for maybe 3 months, the 3 months leading up to mm-hmm. that release, maybe four. And you know, in that time, there was a huge learning curve. The goal was to have four episodes in my back pocket at any time. And then, you know, it turned into staying up four nights in a row every other week to release an episode.
Wow.
So because my episodes, the recordings are anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, and they get cut to about an hour, hour and a half. So which means that, you know, if I procrastinate Sunday to Thursday, I don't sleep.
Right.
Which has become wildly unsustainable in the last like 4 months, which is why I'm now taking a break. So, but I think that in of itself is also something really important as someone who, you know, chooses to put stuff out in the world that also has a schedule and that you've committed to something, not mm-hmm. only to yourself, but also to other people. You have to do it in a way that it's truly sustainable for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And knowing where your limits are, mm-hmm. I think is really important. And that's, to go back to your original question again, is something that I've had to learn, definitely.
Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the show that we designed so that we wouldn't kill ourselves in publishing regularly.
Right, right.
I feel you. I had a similar experience with a couple other things that I do sort of solo. I was doing a show called Focused AF that started as a daily podcast, and I made it about 30 days. And there was a wildly positive response. It was like, oh, I'll do it for another 30. And yeah. then after that, I was just like, I am dead.
Yeah.
Tried to bring it back the next year as like a weekly show and ended up in that spot of like, or maybe bi-weekly, I forget. But basically I would end up in like no sleep zone if I wasn't, you know.
And mind you, this is while he was producing and starring in Wolf 359,
yes.
working a full-time job, you know.
Yeah, it was not a great idea, but it was fun. But it was unsustainable.
No, yeah, like I was.
No,
we could
see that you were getting a lot out of it. We were also like increasingly worried about the pallor in your cheeks.
Yeah, it was just not. It was not. It was a learning experience, and
yeah.
so I like started and I got permission for like, basically these meditation, this meditation book where there's like a page a day. Started recording them in September, and now that's like something that I can do, or it's mm-hmm. like it's 6 minutes and it's just like out the door every day, and it's all like done in a month in advance at least.
Yeah.
But and I feel guilty because it's not as, there's not as much of me in it as there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not the same thing. But yeah, I don't know. I respect that you like had that insight and like were willing to tell the truth, and I don't know. It sounds responsible.
Yeah. I think it's the challenge right now, I think, culturally, period, is that everyone needs to be on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is true globally, but it seems to be. It's definitely true in New York. And I think that it's there. How do I phrase this? There used to be a period in my career where I was working for a fashion house and everyone was quite young in their 20s, early 30s, like younger than 33. Mm-hmm. And their job was their life. I had to ask to leave if I wanted to leave before 6:30.
Wow.
People would be working in the office until 11 p.m., midnight. They would take work home with them. And we were selling handbags, we were selling fashion, and not to, not to put down the industry, but I just don't really idolize that kind of
culture,
like, work culture anymore. And I don't really know why we as a society do. That being said, I don't think we should glorify it. And I think that the glorification of it causes a lot of people heartache because they don't think they're doing enough.
Right. So,
yeah.
Well said. I think I got an ulcer just here.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, but I think that, like, there is just such an obsession now with kind of achieving things by certain point, or like before. Yeah,
because you're supposed to be passionate about your work, right?
That's
how
right.
else are you going to get a 30 under 30?
Right.
And how are you going to succeed without that?
You got to put the work in. You got to do it.
Yeah. Hustle, 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 hustle.
I think the thing that really changed my mentality was hearing from, I might have read it on the internet, I might have heard it said from someone, but you know, when people brag about, like, oh yeah, I was in the office until 11 o'clock. Oh, I was like working all night. But then you think about it and you're just like, if you were good at your job, you wouldn't need those extra hours. Right. You can get it done within a normal time. Why are you bragging about being in the office so late?
Like, you usually hear, I was into the office until 11:30, and you're like, what fire were you putting out? What disaster struck that forced you to do that?
Yeah. What time management problem do you have going on where you have a thing that's due that you're required to be there till? Yeah.
Right. I think this comes from a mindset, and I am pontificating now, just like, I feel like there was, who we are is what we do is like part of, I think, the American culture of, like, you know, a glorification of professionalism. And, you know, we ended up in this sort of industrial era where you show up and, like, your value is determined by what you can accomplish in a 40-hour amount of time, and, like, mostly keeping up with an assembly line, if not, you know, producing in the mines. And we've sort of entered a new era where it's like, it's really not about how much time you spend that equals the value you produce. It's like, you know, it's disproportionate with what we can do with the scale of technology and media and these things. But I think our mindset is still warped around, like, oh, I went the extra mile, and, like, I put in not only, like, a full amount of time, but more time, you know? So yeah. I don't know. I think that that's sort of where it...
This kind of, like, hustle culture.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not a bad thing. Like, you should be doing and working to the best of your abilities, but, you know, be realistic with yourself and be proud of what you're able to accomplish, you know, within your own, like, personal extent. Like, you don't have to be comparing yourself to the hustle of other people. As long as you're doing what you're doing. And you're good.
Right. There's that sort of mantra of, like, be in a race with yourself as opposed to others. And I think the thing that I'm hearing in this is, like, we've made a virtue of self-sacrifice, and that is unhealthy. or, you know, we could also make a virtue of self-care and, like, what could we produce? What could the quality be? What could the, you know, like, what's possible if we take care of ourselves in addition to producing things?
Yeah. And those don't have to be mutually exclusive things.
In fact, it might actually make the product better.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually something relatively new for me is, understanding those limits and those boundaries. But, you know, I love the work that I'm able to do with Breakfast in Beauclair and the kind of people I'm able to meet and the community that's being built. I'm getting very excited talking about it. It's juicy.
All right, everybody. I think that is time for this episode of No Bad Ideas. Alyssa, thank you so much for being here and for letting us mine the wisdom of your experiences with Breakfast in Beauclair.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. This is actually my very first time guesting on someone else's podcast.
Oh my God.
So thank you for popping that cherry. That's very sweet.
Oh my God.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun. And I'd love to do more of this.
Where should people go to find your stuff, to find your show, your Instagram?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can get links to absolutely everything in the world at breakfastinbeauclair.com. That is B-A-U-C-L-A-I-R, Breakfast in Beauclair. And it has links to the Breakfast in Beauclair Instagram. It has links to all of our episodes with the custom show art for each and every episode. A link to our subreddit, r the Hanza, And you can also find Good Morin itself on Instagram at Good Morin, GoodMorhen.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing. You didn't even have to take another author's URL.
I know, right? No one wanted Beauclair. I don't know why.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all for listening. This has been No Bad Ideas, and we'll be back next week with some more of humanity's worst ideas and some hopefully good stories to balance them out.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.